All right, we are looking in this series about the topic of prayer. The topic of prayer and how important it is to have a connection with God. And that's really what we talked about last week. You know, prayer primarily is this connecting with God and how important it is for each and every Christian to have that. And I think, you know, prayer is one of those things we kind of take for granted. You know, in the room here today, there's people from all different levels of their walk with God. Some may have a very functioning prayer life. Some may be intermittent. Some may not have one at all. So, you know, we're going to kind of come at this series a little bit from, you know, point A, and we're going to try to get us, you know, systematically to where we need to be in our walk with God. You know, have you ever, you know, thought about having perhaps a deeper relationship with somebody? You know, maybe there's somebody in your life that you've always really wanted a deeper relationship. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, maybe it's your dad. You know, maybe, you know, in your life, you and your dad maybe didn't really connect or click, and you've always kind of wanted that kind of relationship with them. And, you know, you live in the same house, but it just kind of seems like you maybe feel a little distant from them. And I think that's kind of like for Christians, you know, we are God's house. And when we come to church, you know, we call it God's house. But yet when you come in, you know, to your connection with God, you feel kind of distant to Him. And, you know, I want us to know today, the main point we're going to look at is our God is our Father. Our God is our Father. And better yet, I want us to get to the point in our thinking, our God is our dad. Amen. You know, dad is a little more intimate to me than the word father. And if maybe you don't have that kind of relationship yet, but I believe that we can build one. The scripture we're going to look at today is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. And it says, "And it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" We're going to stop right there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the power of your Spirit just working here in each of our hearts today. Lord, I thank you for just breaking down the strongholds and all the barriers and the things that seem to hold us back from intimacy with you. Lord, I thank you so much for the gift you put inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. I thank you for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, last week, like I mentioned, we looked at something, and the main concept was that prayer connects us with God. And that's how important it is for us to have some sort of prayer life. And like I mentioned, this week, we're going to look at our God is our Father. Now, that seems so simple to say, but how many know it's sometimes some things are easier to say than they are to do? You know, and I know in my walk with God, I could easily say our Father. But yet, I know where I was at in my relationship with God. It wasn't a father-son technically connection. You know, I felt a little distant. So hopefully, you know, this will help us to get to the place we need to be. So the first point we're going to look at today is the fact that Jesus prayed. Now, how many here would actually say, and say it publicly or raise your hand, that they believe that Jesus is God? Anybody here? Is that a safe statement to say? You know, Jesus is God. He's the God the Son. He's the second person of the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? Well, if Jesus is God, why did Jesus have to pray? Why did Jesus have to pray? He was God. Think about that for a minute. If you've already kind of ciphered that out, You know, we know that he was the Son of God, or God the Son. He was sinless, and he walked in the power and the gifts of the Spirit. Had the Spirit without measure. I mean, he just flat got her done. Why did he have to pray? Well, evidently he had to, didn't he? And I'm going to go into that in a little bit. But if Jesus had to pray, how much more do you and I have to pray? You know, if Jesus felt, and in his earthly walk and ministry, and we're going to go into this, he emptied himself as a divine authority. I know that, and you all know that. Philippians 2 talks about it, I believe. You know, he gave up some of his, you know, his power, and then he came down and walked as a man, or he came as a baby and grew up and then walked as a man. And then God empowered him by the Spirit. So he came to show us the way and the things that we need to do. But I really believe that Jesus had some sort of connection that he wanted that he could only get through prayer. And how important it is for us to pray, because what I really feel in my life, you know, as I've aged and have learned some things along the way, is that two things that we really want from our fathers, especially our Heavenly Father, is connection and direction. We need connection and direction. And a better way of stating that, in effect, is the idea we want acceptance and purpose. These are things that we desire and we crave as we're growing up, as we try to find our identity. You know, the fact that we're just born here, there's more than that, because I believe deep down inside we have the DNA in us and we have the potential. But I think sometimes all of us are really craving and looking for some sort of a stamp of approval from our fathers, which will get us to the place, you know, that we need to be in our personal walk on how we do things. And as we looked at last week, the fact that prayer primarily just connects us with God, and how we all need that connection, and me with my lightning quick intellect, my 12th grade graduation and all, or you know, education and all, is that the more we're connected, the easier it is to understand the direction that God has for our life. Just like with any relationship. The more intimate and more close you are to somebody, you really know what they're thinking and what they want to do. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to know what God's going to do some of these times. And what I found out is the fact that if I don't pursue some sort of relationship with God through prayer, there's a lot of times I may not find out the things that I need to know. And it's important that we know those things, because God has a plan for our life and we need that better connection. Remember last week we talked about the idea that, you know, God is not looking for puppets, but God is looking for partners. God could have made puppets, but he didn't. He didn't want puppets. He wanted people that would step out from the crowd and choose by an act of their will and an act of their faith to follow him and to love him. And that's what God is looking for. He's looking for that in each of our lives. He's looking for us to step out and step up and step into the plan that he has for our life. And it's up to us to be able to do that, because, you know, we need to know that God is our Father. And I'm going to drive this home today. The idea that God is our Father. Now, one thing about Jesus, as you read the Gospels, the idea that Jesus would minister by day and he'd pray at night, you know, that just amazed me. You know, he'd go out and minister all day and praying for people and healing people and casting out devils and, you know, just, you know, like I say, healing the sick and, you know, bringing the word to the people, because the people were starving for God. They wanted more of God so Jesus would deliver, but yet at night when he was all alone, he would go away and he would get alone with his Heavenly Father and he would pray. Now, why did God the Son have to do that? Well, I've kind of been thinking about this a little bit on how that all works out, because like I mentioned, he emptied himself of his divine authority, so he came down here in a different way. But what I feel, you know, being God the Son, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, Jesus, through all eternity before this, was connected so tightly with the Trinity. I mean, they all were one, the three in one. Then all of a sudden, you know, in the plan of the Father, Jesus stepped out of that position there for a while, and then he went down to earth because he wanted to redeem us and to save us from our sins. I believe that he just craved that connection with the Trinity again. I believe that he wanted that connection. Just like deep down inside, I believe that we all want some sort of connection in life. You know, we were created by God, and we were created for connection. We need connection with other people. If you are alone all the time, that's not healthy for you. That's how some people hurt themselves and they get into bad situations, is because they're alone with their thoughts, and sometimes their thoughts will lead them astray. That's why we need to be connected with other people. And most of all, you know, we need to be connected to God. You know, Jesus, you know, after putting out all day in ministry, I'm sure he needed to recharge his batteries, you know. And I really look at our spiritual walk sometimes as like a battery. Has anybody had their battery fail them? You know, maybe you went out on a cold day because cold puts a lot of stress on a battery, and maybe you're in a cold part of your life right now. Maybe things are going on in your life that are kind of hard right now, and you feel kind of cold and distant, and you just don't feel like your battery's going to kick in. Well, we just change our battery. But it's not like that with our spiritual life. We have to recharge our batteries. You know, the Bible says in Jude chapter 12, there's only one chapter in Jude, but Jude verse 20, it says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, whatever translation you got. So evidently, there must be something to prayer that builds us up spiritually. Now, I don't want to be sacrilegious right now, and don't misunderstand what I'm saying, because I'm a word man all the way. You know, I believe in the Bible. I love the Bible. I read the Bible every day. I believe it from the table of contents all the way to the maps. Amen? I mean, what's in there, I just believe it. But what's kind of humbling is the fact that evidently the Word of God is just not enough. That's a sobering thought. Because we need prayer too, also. We don't kick either one of them to the curb. We don't give up one for the other. We need them both. And the importance it is that we need to pray and to spend that time, because, like I said, our spiritual batteries get kind of run down from putting out sometimes, and you get in these stressful situations, and it just eats at you and gnaws at you and pulls you down. And it feels like you're sinking. And the last thing you want to do when you're in that situation is to actually take time to do nothing but pray. But pray is what we should do at that time. Because we need that connection. We need to get recharged and to bring us back into the position where God wants us to be. Now, my next point I want to look at is the fact that the disciples, they come up to Jesus and they made a startling fact. They said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And how important that is. Now, to us, being Gentiles, coming from where we come from, you know, we think, well, yeah, that's a novel point, you know. But you have to understand, these Jewish boys knew how to pray. They had been taught prayer ever since they were little fellers, on the proper positions and protocols and, you know, the hoops you have to jump through to kind of get close to God. All the things that they had to do, and they even had a priest there that would kind of help them. The priest was kind of the go-between, because technically they weren't good enough to go to God on their own. They needed help, you know, just like you and I do, but ours is Jesus, and once we've done it, we're there. They, on the contrary, had to always offer up animals of when they sinned, and, you know, and all these different things to try to get them close to God. And evidently what they were watching when they watched Jesus Christ is he must have had something about prayer that they had never witnessed or experienced before. The power of connection and what it meant, because there's more to the rituals and regulations and protocol that we all kind of think that we have to do to get close to God, because we just have to understand the idea of how God desires a relationship with us. You know, I remember that old saying, and you ought to put this at your screensaver if you have a computer or on your phone, just to remind you of this, because this is life-changing. and I didn't make it up. Somebody else said it. You don't get good to get God, you get God to get good. And if you get that in your mind, it's going to revolutionize your relationship with God. Because we sometimes, especially as believers, and you know, maybe us pastors and preachers kind of lay a little guilt trip on people every now and then. Maybe we shouldn't, I don't know. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to convict of sin, amen. But, you know, the idea that, you know, we don't get good to get God. See, I thought before I became a Christian, that I had to go do all these things. I had to quit this stuff and quit that. I really thought God was the God of no. I can't do this and I can't do that and I shouldn't say this and I shouldn't say that. So my idea was I had to fix all these things before I could even get in the same vicinity of wanting some sort of connection with God. I was misinformed. I was misinformed. And once I found out the truth, the idea that I'll never get good enough, it totally changed my position. Once somebody told me the truth about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the idea of how God wants a relationship with me and I could be born again, I could be all new, it totally changed my whole perspective that I wasn't just improved, but I was made brand new. And the idea of the kind of relationship that God wants with his people, it just amazed me. Because the idea of getting a connection with God is this so life-changing. And I believe really that's what the apostles had witnessed in Jesus Christ, you know, when they were watching him. Because, you know, their idea of God was so different because, you know, God was so holy and they were so not. And, you know, they couldn't really go to him unless they did all these rituals and things they had to do. And as a matter of fact, you know, they wouldn't even say God's name. It was so holy. Even today, Jewish people leave a vowel out of the name of God so they don't do it wrong or something. You can Google it on the internet. There's some people that are still Jewish that they'll, even when they say the word God, usually it's when they say the more Hebrew names they would do it. But I witnessed one the other day. They left the O out of God. Just left a little hyphen there or something. Because they just, it's been ingrained in them. They just had to go through these rituals. You had to go through these traditions. And see, rituals and traditions ruin relationship. Just like it'll ruin the relationship of your marriage. It'll ruin the relationship with your family and friends. If we put those things above, you know, the idea of wanting to have connection. To me, you know, when they watch Jesus pray, I believe it develops some sort of spiritual hunger in them, and I hope you have a spiritual hunger. If you don't have a spiritual hunger right now, ask God to give you one. Because we need to be hungry for God. We need to have that desire to spend time with God. I know we live in a real world and we're busy and da-da-da, all this stuff jerking us around all the time. And, you know, it's hard to be on fire 24/7. But I will say this, there are times in our life that we just need to say, God, my flicker needs to be a flame. Right now, I'm flickering. Sometimes I still need to, you know, maybe you need something to light your pilot light yet. You know what I'm saying? Your pilot light even went out. When your pilot light's out, that's a bad deal. I want to read a quote today from John Bunyan. I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm going to look at it here. It's not that hard, but he speaks in old, this is written in old Elizabethan English, one word anyway. And John Bunyan was a prayer warrior, and he has some books out there, but he said, when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than their words without heart. Meaning, it's better to be quiet unless what you're speaking really comes from your heart. And we need to have that passion and that desire. I don't know about you what it was like when you finally met the one you thought you were going to marry. You know what I'm saying? Or you wanted to marry. There was some sort of pursuit there, you know what I'm saying? Now, the man is supposed to do the pursuing. I'm kind of old school. I think that's how it's supposed to be. But I'll tell you what, the girl needs to drop a few breadcrumbs every now and then, you know what I'm saying? kind of leave a little sign here that there might be a little bit interested. So there's kind of that dance, a pursuit there that needs to take place. And I really feel that you and I need to have the idea, you know, that we really need to pursue God, because God's already pursued us. He sent his son to restore that relationship, to break the barrier down. He's just saying, come on in. Come on in. Now, full disclaimer again, I want to do this every now and then, is that when you pray, I'm not saying the angels all show up and you're going to just feel all Holy Ghost goosebumps all the time, because you won't. And if you pray one time and it doesn't happen, you'll never want to pray again, maybe. But I'm just telling you, through a process of learning how to pray and to communicate and to build that relationship, it's going to be the best thing that you ever have done. Now, the last point I want to look at today is our Father. Now, we take it for granted. We're born in a country where, you know, like I mentioned earlier in the service, you know, our country was founded on God, even though we've kind of deviated from that path a little bit. But primarily, our forefathers really believed that God's providence was on their lives, and they were doing something great. And I really believe that we need to look at ourselves in that same light. God placed us here for a reason, and we're supposed to do something great for Him. But these Jewish boys, you know, they looked at it a little bit different, you know, because when they talked to God, like I mentioned earlier, you know, God was holy. You know what I mean? And you didn't mess up his name. Now, in this prayer, you know, we're going to maybe go into some of that. Now, I don't want us to get to the place where we think that God's our buddy, you know, because it says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, there still has to be some sort of hallowed be thy name. There still has to be a little bit of respect, you know what I mean, in our relationship, just like you need to respect your earthly father, you know. And I know sometimes we don't, but you know, there needs to be that level of respect. But yet, there still is that connection that we have for being in the family of God that should bring us closer to Him. And I'll bet you anything, this was a shock to the religious system, because they'd been praying, you know, doing a lot of different things on how they prayed and how the priest taught them to pray in the synagogue and how they've been praying. And here Jesus, you know, looks like he's, you know, he's walking in this authority, and it looks like he's got this dynamic relationship with God, and they wanted a piece of that. But when he said, when you pray, pray like this, Our Father, I'm sure it just put a shock in their system. You what? You want us to call God Father? It doesn't work that way in their system. See, we all have systems. You know, right now you have a nervous system. Maybe I'm making some of you nervous. I don't know. Hope not. You have a digestive system, as well as other systems. But the system I'm wanting to deal with today is our religious system. We all have a religious system, whether we want to accept it or not. See, your nervous system, you know, deals with certain things, and your digestive system, well, you know what that does. Well, your religious system in you tells how you deal with, you interpret and you relate with God. And we all have that. And it's changing, it's evolving, hopefully, to a deeper way and from where you started at. I mean, to me, when somebody told me God cares, yeah, I suppose he does. I knew Jesus died for me, but I figured after I did that, you know, it's up to me to crawl and claw my way to where God wants me to be. You know, just kind of what I thought I had to do. And like I mentioned, you know, these guys thought God was so holy, you couldn't even say his name. And, you know, and it short-circuited something in their brain when Jesus said, Our Father. But I'll tell you what, if you really step back and think about this in your own life, it's different when you pray to God or you pray to your father. I know I make a mistake, and I do it, you know, not on purpose, but it's easier for me. Instead of figuring out when to say God's or Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I'll just throw out the word God, because I don't want to leave one of them out. You know what I'm saying, in my sermons and stuff? And I use the word God probably more. I should use the word Father more than I do, I'll be honest with you. I've kind of been thinking about that in my own life and my messages, because God is really impersonal. And it's talking more about a supreme being than it is somebody that I can have a connection with. But I do know it's different for me than when I say, oh God, or our Father. Our Father. And that's what Jesus told us to say. Now, to me, when you pray to God instead of dad, like I said, it's impersonal. And to me, it's kind of like asking somebody else's dad for something. Have you ever done that? You know, I don't know if I have or not, but could you imagine going up to somebody else's dad and asking them for something that really they weren't even, it's not their responsibility to give you? That'd be a little awkward and weird, wouldn't it? You know, just go up to some dad and say, hey, I see you bought your kid lunch. Can you buy my lunch? Could you do that for me? Now, I wouldn't think 2 seconds about asking my dad for lunch. You know, I'd just tell him, let's go get it, you know, because I know he would. But to go to somebody else's dad, it's really impersonal. I don't have a connection. I don't have a relationship with them. So it's kind of different than asking my own father for things. And he'd probably tell me, said, hey, what's the matter, boy? You ain't got a dad that you can go ask stuff for? We all have a dad now in heaven. And he has no problem with us coming to him and asking him for things. Now, one thing about God, I found out, my father, he says yes more than my earthly dad did. I don't know, and I, as a dad, I know I say no. Usually when the kids, you just kind of, as a parent, you know, you just kind of learn, just say no first, you know, they might get rid of them for a little bit. And then, you know, then maybe if it's really important, you can change your mind. But God is not the God of no. And that's the graciousness of our Heavenly Father, of being able to have that relationship with Him. Now, I'm not saying God gives us everything, you know, that I want. Our Father doesn't do that. But I do know that closer I get to Him, I start asking for the things I know that He wants me to ask for. And one of the hindrances that, you know, many Christians experience is the fact that, and this is true, many believe this, a lot of counselors, and I believe it myself, that sometimes our relationship with our earthly father has an effect on our relationship with our heavenly father. And if you didn't have a good relationship with your earthly father, maybe he was the dad of no, and he didn't have time for you. I mean, he's probably out working trying to feed your face. I mean, give him some credit sometimes, but primarily maybe he just didn't have time for you or wasn't really approachable. So now that you're a Christian and you want to come to your Heavenly Father, you kind of transfer some of that feelings and that protocol or whatever into our religious system that we already have established in us as when we want to come to God. And we have to overcome that. And the best way to overcome that's, number one, through prayer, and then all of a sudden, the Word of God. Once you start to read the Bible about what your Heavenly Father is like, it changes things, and it makes us look at God different. So if you struggle with that, you know, I encourage you to not give up, but try to just keep tapping in there and fulfilling everything God's called you to do. Now, I feel that when we talk to a father, it brings a certain level of comfort. And we shouldn't feel that weird when we're praying and spending time with our Father. Now, you might feel weird the first time you pray in public. I don't know if you've ever done that yet, but that's a milestone in your walk. I encourage you to do that. It can just be, Lord, you know, just I want to just bless so-and-so in Jesus' name. But I mean, you do that, it's just good. It gets you to the place because, you know, I really feel that God wants us to get to the place where we can talk to Him. Now, how many of you, you know, if you've had a baby, you know how cute they are, right? And I don't know about you as a parent, but I look forward to the day my kids could talk. Now I kind of regret it, but I look forward to when they could talk because then they could tell me actually what they want. That crying to get your stuff just didn't work for me. You know, they're crying. You hold them. Well, that didn't work. Change your diaper. That didn't work. Try to feed them. That didn't work. What do you want? But see, when we speak, we learn English. We can talk, and I believe God wants, He knows our hearts already. He has the benefit that I didn't have with my children. But I believe that God wants us to talk to Him. And if we remember anything today, just remember that our God is our Father. Now, you can check this out. I believe it's true. But Christianity is the only religion that can call its God Dad. I know of no other religion. I've done a little studying of them just to check them out, not for, you know, wanting to convert, but I just kind of wanted to know a little bit about where they're coming from to try to convert them. But I've never have witnessed where they would have the audacity to call their God Dad. But we do. We do. Or do we? There's one thing about going through the motions with your mouth, another thing when it's an expression of your heart. And that's what God wants us to do. We need to have it come from our heart that our God is our daddy. As a matter of fact, in Romans, I believe it's chapter 8, it says Abba, Father, and that word's talking about daddy. You know, when we talk to him. And so your assignment this week is, I would like you to think about when you're praying during your prayer time, because the Bible did say when you pray, right? It says, you know, Jesus said in verse 2, when you pray, say. So he's assuming that we're all praying, you know what I mean? But he's, you know, so this week during your prayer time, that you just kind of think about the concept that our God is our Father. Amen? Let's pray.